share with you on a topic today. Have a vision. Do you have a vision for your life? If you don't know where you're going, you're stuck in life. If you don't know your future, you don't know where you're going. You see, God is a God of the future. God is a God of tomorrow. He knows what tomorrow is going to look like. He knows what the future is. Before I actually focus on my sermon, have a vision, I like to always let people know that my focus is really for you and I to become Bible students. I don't want to just take something out of context. I want us to really observe the content of the book of Habakkuk and bring it into our day and time, into our contemporary time, how it can be applicable. I believe that the word of God is timeless. I believe that the word of God is practical. I believe that the word of God is so much truth, principles that we can apply that are universal, no matter the time. Amen. But we need to understand the context when it was written. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. This is very, very important. The burden. Some other translation use the word burden to refer to the oracle. Some translation, vision, which prophet Habakkuk saw. So chapter 1, just an outline, talks about the burden. This is the first complaint of the prophet. Complain about the injustice and social ills of the land of Judah. That's pretty much what the book of Habakkuk chapter 1 focuses on. Habakkuk complained to God about the injustice and social ills of the land of Judah. And then he gave us a list of some of these social ills. I'm not going to read everything. You have iniquity, trouble, plundering, violence, strife, contention, lawlessness, the wicked, perverse judgment, perverse justice. So we see all of these things happening right now in our lifetime. So we have the right to complain to God that, God, look what's happening in our generation. Transgenderism, our children being forced into sexual content, perversion of justice, violence. God, why did you allow me to see this burden? Why did you expose me to see these certain things? Sometimes God exposes you and I in trouble. Sometimes God exposes you and I to see things that, God, why would you allow me to see this? So the prophet is actually saying that, God, why did you allow me to see this burden? I cannot bear to see this burden. My heart aches to see this burden. What is going on? He's complaining to God. And then, if you continue to read chapter 1, the Lord's first response. So we see that Habakkuk complained first, and then God replied to Habakkuk. And the reply of God is, that's Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Look what it says. Look among the nations and watch. He said, okay, man of God, I want you to look among the nations and watch. He was a watchman. Be utterly astounded. I'm reading from the New King James Version. For I will walk a walk in your days. Again, mark this word, work. It's essential, work. I will work a work in your days. You have brought your complaints to me, man of God. Guess what I'm going to do? I want you to look among nations. Again, these were social ills and injustice, not only happening in the land of Judah, they were also happening all over the world. That's exactly what we're seeing right now. Injustices, social ills affecting our world, corruption, deceit, sexual perversion, everything. I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, man of God. Wow. Though it were told you, for indeed, I am raising up the Shalindians. So God said, okay, I'm going to do a work for you. And the work that I'm going to do, I am going to raise up another nation. The Shalindians were the Babylonians. And I will use this nation to punish your country. You might wonder, man of God, but how can God use a wicked nation to punish a nation? Sometimes God uses evil things to punish evil. Just like you, if you want to do good, you do good. You use good things to reward goodness. So if you want to punish evil, you use evil things. So God said to Habakkuk, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to punish my people, Judah. That's God's response. God's agent of punishment, judgment, and justice on Judah is going to use another nation. What? On God's people? And if you continue to read chapter 2, the Bible lists the type of nation. The Chaldean. Sometimes, we as a nation, we carry an attribute. Like, for example, in Africa, there's an attitude among Sierra Leoneans. There's an attitude among Ugandans. There's an attitude or particular action that we can generalize. Cameroonians or Congolese. So God gave a list of actions and characteristics that you can identify that describe who the Chaldeans are. They are hasty. They are very quick. They rush things. They are very bitter. They're angry people. They are terrible. Can you imagine? God is the one telling his servant who these people are. They are terrible. They are dreadful. They are violent. They are mockers. They are proud. And this is what God is going to do. The work that God is going to do to raise up a nation to punish God's people. And God described the type of people these people are. Oh my God, they are wicked. They are terrible. Amen? And now, we're still focusing on chapter 1. Prophet Habakkuk's second complaint. So, okay, God, I complained first. He responded by telling me that you're going to do a work. You're going to raise up a nation to punish my people. Now, the second complaint on the wickedness of the Chaldeans. If you continue to read that same chapter, the man of God knew about this nation, about the wickedness of people. He described the wickedness as like men treating other human beings like fish. Can you imagine using a fish net as an illustration? How people treat people like fish. Use a net to hook a fish from the water. The wickedness of people. How can a just God use wicked Babylonian to punish a people more righteous than themselves? If you look at the children of Israel and the Babylonians, the children of God, they are more righteous than the Babylonians. But why is God using a wicked nation to punish a nation more righteous than them? The man of God is baffled. That is why he said, oh my God, in verse 1, this is the burden that God has exposed my eyes to see. Sometimes in life, how can God bless a wicked nation like America? America used to be fantastic. How can God use people like Paul, who was a murderer? How? These are questions that you and I we have. How can God use somebody who is a prostitute and God raised them up to become very prominent in society? How can God use Donald Trump? How can God use Joe Biden? How can God use all these people? They're in a position of power and authority. You ask yourself, but this is confusion. We're expecting the best to go into politics. We're expecting the best to become pastors. We're expecting the best to become doctors. We're expecting the best to become judges. We're expecting the best for the best positions in life. That's the question that the man of God was asking. Now, chapter 2, just to finish up my context. Now, chapter 2 focuses on the man of God waiting for an answer. So, okay, God, I want you to go to chapter 2. Let's see. Amen. It says, I will stand my watch again. He's waiting, conversing with God back and forth. So, okay. God, thank you for your first response. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Like, he's having a conversation with God. Like, God, this is too complex. Now, I'm trying to see what you're going to do next. And what is the second What is the second response of God now? Then the Lord answered me and said, this is the second response. Write the vision and make it plain. Who reads it? For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Okay, I'm going to get to that. Okay, that's going to be our focus. Let me just finish my context. So, the second reply of God is the vision. Let me finish verse 4. It's very important. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Keep that verse in mind. Amen. Now, when you continue to read chapter 2, we see the punishment of the Shilindians. So, God used them to punish his people. God also punished them. So, they're not going to go scot-free. So, you might think, okay, God used the Babylonians to punish the children of Israel. Are you going to let them go freely with all the invasion, taking other people's land by force with violence? But if you continue to read chapter 2 from verse 8 all the way down to verse 13, verses 4 all the way to verse 20, it talks about a list of condemnation against the Shilindians. Let me just go over them quickly. God punishes them because of their plundering activities. God condemns their greed. They were greedy. He condemns that. God condemns their covetousness. God condemns their violence. God condemns their adultery. These were all things that they were doing that God condemns. So God punished them as well. At the end of this book, Prophet Habakkuk made a prayer to God. And we can break it down into a prayer of petition for God's mercy, a prayer of praise for God's power, and a prayer of promise. If you read chapter 3, you will see that Habakkuk now is no longer complaining. He's no longer complaining. He's praying. Praying to God. Praising God for God's power. And pleading to God for God's mercy. And I really like verse chapter 3. I want you to go down to, let me read it for you. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. O Lord, I have heard of your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work. Again, you see, in the previous chapter, we talk about the work that God said he was going to do, right? So now, the man of God is saying that God, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. I like this, how it ended. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh my God. In wrath, remember mercy. In judgment, God, remember mercy. Now let's focus on my sermon. Do you have a vision? Do you truly have a vision for your life? Sometimes when we talk about vision, we think that only corporations, companies, or ministries that should create a vision. But what about you as an individual? Do you have a vision for your professional life? Do you have a vision for your family? Let's talk. Do you have a vision for your family? Do you have a vision for your ministry, your personal ministry? Do you have a vision for the future? Or you just wake up and just walk with the flow of life? Or do you have goals that you want to accomplish? Do you anticipate a future that some things are going to change in your life? Serious talk. We read the visions of businesses. We read the visions of churches. But what about you as an individual? Do you have a vision? Let's examine Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 2 to 3. We see that God is a source of vision. Because he was the one who responded to Habakkuk and he said, write the vision. If you don't have a vision now, it's okay. But you can have one. I don't want you to leave today thinking that, okay, man of God, you have talked about having a vision. How am I going to make it happen? Again, talk to God. Go to your father. and say, God, I've heard your word today. I need a vision for my family. I need a vision for my life. I need to understand the vision of this church. Because if you are going to be part of an organization, you need to know where the organization is going. Just like some of us, we go to work, we're there for the money, but we don't even know the 5-year plan of the company. How many of you know the vision of Canada? You're in Canada, Toronto. We just had an election. How many of you know the plan of our mayor? Plan the future of Toronto. But every day we wake up, there's new projects. There's metro links. There's new condominium being built, replacing the old ones. Do we know? Oh, boy. That is why the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's true. It didn't say you perish for lack of prayer. It didn't say you perish for lack of fasting. He said you are perishing, meaning that you are going down in life, you are degrading in life because of your lack of knowledge. When you know, when you have knowledge, you will create a vision. Serious talk, children of God. God commanded his prophet, write a vision. Don't just have it in your head. When God speaks to you or God reveals something to you in a dream. How many of you, when you have a dream, do you write something or do you record it on your phone? That way you can remember? Or your brain is like, how do you call it? AI that can recall things. No. Write things down. Learn to write things down. Even when you come to church, bring your notepad. Write things down. What makes you think God gave us a Bible? Hard copy. Back in the day, they would memorize these things. But now we have technology. Even at that, that was not enough. God, from memorization to recording in scrolls and pamphlets, now we have digital copies of the Bible. Write the vision. Whatever vision that God is going to give you for your personal life, write it down. Transcribe into a paper. It says, write the vision which I'm about to reveal. You have to prepare yourself. When God speaks, you clear your mind to listen to God. When God speaks, you take away all distractions. Some of us, we're so distracted that we can't even hear the voice of God. We're so occupied with work. God wants to speak the next step into your life. God wants to direct your life. The only time we have the privilege to really hear from God, when we come to church on Sunday. But our day-to-day activity, but we focus so much on work. But we're not going anywhere. I remember somebody was telling me, a sister was telling me that, Brian, I work 5 years, I saved $50,000, and I became sick, all that money is gone. Life is funny. You can work your butt off for how many years and that money is gone. What's the point? I want you to go to God and say, God, give me a vision. When God gives you a vision, child of God, write it down. Don't procrastinate. Don't postpone it. Like our sister was saying, the best time of your life or the best day of your life is the day of your death. I'm telling you, because that's the day you're going to stand before God. You're going to spend the rest of your life either in eternity in heaven or in hell. Work with God. And the Bible says in chapter 2, make it plain on tablets. Again, God is emphasizing, write it down. When you write it down, make it plain. Let it be simple. Let it be readable. Something that you can read. Some of us, we write. We can't even read our own handwriting. And like, I can speak for myself. Me too. Sometimes I write funny. You understand? That's how I like to digitalize. Write things down. Type things down. Amen? I want you to write it down. Make it plain. That way you yourself, the vision bearer, you can understand the vision of God. Make it plain. What God is saying that this vision I'm going to give you is going to, it's not going to be vivid. At times when God speaks to us, God speaks in a very symbolic way. You understand? The Bible is full of symbols. That is why we have to study it. So God has said, okay, I have given you a dream. I have given you a vision for your life. Now make it plain. Look for interpretation. Simplify it. Make it plain can also mean cut it down into chunks. Sometimes some of us, we have long-term goals. Oh, I want to buy a mansion. Start first with the apartment unit. You understand? Work little by little. Simplify it. It doesn't mean that you cannot accomplish that big goal. In business, in school, we've learned about the SMART goal. Do something, measure your goals. Focus on the little things first and then work towards the bigger stuff. That also means make it plain. Make it plain. Small chunks on tablets. Readable, usable.
Make a plane can also mean use a boat. Some of us, we have big, big vision. I want to fly. Where you want to fly to? You can't even walk, you want to fly. Is that vision that you have? Is a plane? Some of us, we have unrealistic goals. You want to have 10 children. Are you mad in Canada? Make it plain. Make it usable. Child of God. These are things that we are learning just from these few verses. Make it plain means make it simple. Make it readable. Make it usable. On tablets. We don't have tablets. We have books. We have notepads. We have iPhones. We have a laptop. We have PC computers. We have all these things. Put it down. Write it down. This is for your own life. Make it large. Put it in large letters. Everywhere you go, put it in a place where you're able to see the vision. When you go to a corporate office, you see your vision in your office. They did it on purpose, not just for the branding. That way to remind you that, okay, this is our vision. This is what we stand for. Look at the LGBT agenda. Everywhere you go, you see their logos. Everywhere you go, you see their vision. They push it right in front of our face. But we as child of God, we don't even have a vision. At work, they push their agenda on us. That's a vision. You know what they're trying to do? Oh boy. Oh God. This vision that they have, trying to sexualize the entire humanity, started long back. Now they're targeting our children. Now they're targeting women. Women don't even have their own, oh my, they don't even have their own dressing room anymore. Any man can go into a woman's dressing room, identify as a man, and the government will, oh God, that's the vision. And our children in school, teaching them sexual content, that's the vision of their plan. Do we have a vision as a church? Do we have a vision as a nation? Do you have a vision for your personal life? 2023 is coming to an end. Do you have a vision for 2024? Or are you going to sit back and, oh God, let things flow? You know what I've learned in this life? Some of us, we say, God, I want God to be in control. No. God is in control when you let him be in control. You have to work with God. You have to get God involved. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge me and I will direct your path. Look what the Bible says, in all your ways. Or do you only acknowledge God when you're in church? Hallelujah! Or do you only acknowledge God when you're sick? Or do you acknowledge God, the God, what is the next move in my professional life? God, I just got married. What is the next move in my marriage? God, I just have children. What is it? Oh my God. God cares about every aspect of your life. Child of God, take advantage of that. God is into your every details of your life. Take advantage of that. He is your creator. He is your teacher. He is your father. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows tomorrow. You don't know. So plan your life with God. Are you with me? Now, let's go. That he may run who reads it. What? What we see here, child of God. Communicate the vision. We see, capture the vision, plan the vision by writing it down. Now we see, communicate the vision. Because sometimes we want to do things by ourselves. Okay, you as a mother, you as a father, do you have a vision for your family? If you do, do you communicate that vision to your wife? Do you communicate that vision to your husband? Do you communicate that vision to your children so they can also run with it? You see, a vision, usually, it's for the good of everyone. Ah, mashikarabarabo. Divine vision, or a vision that is inspired by God, is for the good, the betterment of everyone. It is not a selfish vision. The difference between a vision and an ambition is that ambition is selfishness. Ambition is personalized. Ambition is all about you. Whereas vision is for the good of everyone. So you as somebody in a place of authority, when you have that vision that God has given you, it's not just for you. It's for your family. It's for the church. It's for the corporate world. It's for your country. Share the vision, communicate it to the right people. Mama, shut up. That is where we make mistakes. First of all, communicate the vision, right? Because the Bible says that he may run who reads it. Communicate the vision. Now, delegate the vision. Delegate the vision. Because when you communicate the vision to people, Sister Adama brought a wonderful idea for the church. Thank you, Adama. God is using you. for us to do something new in this church, to go house to house evangelism. What we should do, we should listen to that vision or that idea that God has given anyone in this church. Again, like I said, the vision is for the betterment of everybody. But if you have that vision and you sit on it and you close your mouth, God is going to hold you accountable. Just like your gifts. Oh, Basharaba. Just like Jesus said, I will hold you accountable because I gave you gifts and you refused to use them. You sat on them. You bury your God-given gift and people are perishing. You want God to raise you up, but you don't want to utilize opportunities that God has given you. The Bible says if you are faithful in what is little, you'll be faithful in much. Sometimes we think that we can be faithful in much. It's a lie. If you have not been tested in a little, there's no way you can be proven in much. Let me say that again. If you have not been tested in little, there's no way you can be proven in much. That's how God works. Oh, God, bless me with $5 million. Oh, God, if you give me $5 million, this is what I'm going to do with that money. Even $5, you can't even divide it among to pay expenses. Now, what makes you think you'll be able to utilize $10,000 effectively? We deceive ourselves. Practice makes perfect. Delegate that vision. Communicate it to the people. Now, you're asking yourself, okay, how can I delegate this vision? Human resources, we need that. Helpers, support system. We need a team. I was trying to sound like T.D. Jakes. I'm like, oh boy, please, Brian, sit down and go to sleep. Go to sleep, sit down and go to sleep. Be yourself. Because I didn't know who I was. I'm like, God, who am I? God introduced me to myself. Amen? So come here, be yourself. Don't try to be like nobody else. Be you. Be your own unique way. If you like to shout, shout. If you're quiet like Tatiana, please be quiet too. So, delegate the vision for human resources, for help, for support system, for team. Now you might wonder, but if I share my vision, how will people receive it? How will people respond to it? Make sure, you see, the right people will run with it. But people who are not right, they will not run with it. The word run means people will take it. Oh, mash, they'll put speed into it. Have you done a project with the wrong people? Have you ever done a project with the wrong people or started a business with the wrong people? Slows or delays too much. Because why? There's no interest in that vision. I've done a business with somebody. That person, there's no interest in that vision. That person actually slows me down. The slowness is just too much. But somebody who's right for that vision, they'll run with it. Oh, but Alex, let's prime. This is an opportunity for us to make millions of dollars. I understand where you're going. These are the strategies. That is why you make it clear. Since you have communicated that vision, it's so clear to you first. Sometimes we ourselves, the vision bearer, the vision is not even clear to us. So how can we make it clear to others? You understand? So there's a process. Let that vision be clear to you first. Let that vision make sense to you first. You yourself, who's the vision bearer, believe in that vision before you even try to get people to believe in it. Most times we want to get people to believe in our vision. To believe in us. Maybe we don't believe in ourselves. It's a lie. Oh, I believe in you. Believe in yourself first before you try to get people to believe in you. So after you have communicated that vision, you make it plain. When I understand that vision, God, what Brother Alex is saying, and when I see that there's value in this vision, not just for Brother Alex, but also for me. Sometimes the reason why we as Africans, we don't work as a team is because we don't see the value from it. Sometimes we the vision bearer, sometimes we communicate that vision in a very selfish, self-centered way. It's all about me, my church. Oh, who says your church? It's God's church. That is why right now, the way Christianity is going, we talk about the kingdom. 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 Who owns the kingdom? God. Who's the king? God. My church. Have you ever gone to a church where it says, this is the only place where deliverance takes place? Oh, this is, oh God. And then a sister approached me trying to evangelize to me. Come to my church. That's where blessings, that's the only church where I said, my sister, that's not the only place blessings will happen. Amen? That's not the only place healing will take place. When you call upon that name, anything can happen. So, woman of God, children of God, delegate the vision to the right people that he may run. Run in a sense that walk with that vision. We want people that will walk with that vision. You don't want lazy people. You see, God is not a God of laziness. Oh my, that is why the disciples of God, all of them were preoccupied. Amen?
All of them were preoccupied. Even one of them was preoccupied with stealing. Even one of them was preoccupied with collecting tax. But all of them were doing something with your lives. How can a God use a lazy man to do ministry when he's saying, I want you to walk from Kenema to Congo? God, I need an airplane. God said, no. Start from the bottom first. We want a spaceship. Laziness is not good. So find people who are hardworking, who are valuable, who believe in you, who believe in the vision, who share the same value with you. Amen? That they may run with it. That word is very important. When you run with somebody, it's speed. Speed. If you have the right people in your life will move forward very fast. I'm telling you this. If you're in a wrong relationship, your life will move slow. Of any sort, family, business, even ministry. Let's say you are the one praying. That person is always sleeping. What do you do? Serious. Amen. Vision that he may run who reads it. You as the vision bearer, make it. That is why God is saying that. Make it plain so that people can read it. You see, when you make it plain, this is what you're doing. People are going to identify their skill, their personality in accomplishing that vision. I think they need a marketing department. Pastor, I think in the marketing sense, that's really my strong call. I can really help. But if Pastor did not mention that we need people that will be able to promote this church, if you did not mention that, then you, who God knows that you're skilled in marketing, it will not come out. That is why it's good to make it plain. Make the vision plain. Explain it. You see, whether if you have worked in the corporate setting or if you have done business presentation, the vision is always communicated first when you go for a job interview. It will take you how many hours for that? It's like, I want you to go to the money, how much they're paying us. Go to the money, how much they're paying us. I went for a job interview. I'm like, just go quickly. Go. I'm like, please, just finish all this presentation. Just get to how much money I'm making. All that we care about, what's in for us. We ask for them, like, no, they're very wise. It's like, no, you're not going to take our money for nothing. You need to understand our vision before you get paid. Amen? Same with the church too. These people come to church, they get healed, they get delivered. But they don't want to take the time to understand where God is taking this church. You see, the vision is not about you. It's for everybody. That's why God gave the prophet, write the vision, that he who runs with it, who reads it may run with it. Amen? Now, let's go to, people don't follow what they don't understand. People will not follow what they don't understand. People will not do that. Except the blind will lead the blind. Except if you're blind. But people who are very smart, who are very focused in life, who are very strategic in life, who don't want people to waste their time. Ha! Oh, child of God. Sometimes you have to learn those things the hard way. Your friend will just call you randomly. Brian, let's go clubbing. Bro, I've done clubbing since high school. Go clubbing for what? My time is so important right now. I don't even have time for foolishness. But if you don't have a vision, oh, Marika. You know, you see, when you have a vision, your life is focused. Your life is prioritized. But we don't have a vision, your life is drifted away. Anybody can come into your life. Let's go and do this. You go. Let's go and do this. You go. But when you have a vision, when you wake up every morning, God, this is my next target for this. This is my next commitment. But you don't have a vision. You just go by the flow. Do you want to go by the flow in life? Is that the way to live? Just to wake up in the morning. Okay, what's there to eat? Eat, sleep, and go to work 9 to 5? What are your plans? Okay, plans about, okay, God, I want to buy a house. What do I need to do? Build my credit. What do I need to do? Start small. You don't think it's possible to pay off a $40,000 debt? It's possible, child of God. Start small. You see, sometimes when we act by faith, we take that step of faith. You'll be powerful. God begins to work. God begins to step in. But we're too afraid that, God, this vision is too big for my head. That's a vision. A vision will never be too small for you. It will be bigger than your head. Something that you cannot carry. That is why you need people. That is why God says, he, make it plain. He who reads it will run with it. Because that vision is too big for you. Amen? Let's go to the other point. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it would not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Let me tell you guys that the first part is your part, the servant of the vision. Like, write the vision. That is your responsibility. It's not God's responsibility. All that God will do is to give you the vision, reveal it to you in a dream or in your heart. That's what God will do. He's the source of that vision. But it is your responsibility, child of God, your part, to write the vision, make it plain, communicate that vision, delegate that vision. It is your part. God is not going to do that for you. That's why sometimes we make mistakes. That in this life, we are partners with God. God is not going to come and feed you so that you can eat matoke. He's not doing that. It's not doing that. It's not doing that. Now, this is God's part. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. You're not in control of the fulfillment of that vision. There's a time for everything. So don't start killing yourself. Ah, God, I've been doing this business. Hey, sometimes we quit easily, like me. Ah, but shut up. I'm using myself as an example. We quit easily. You have been working on the project. God, I've been working on this project for 10 years. Ah, God, I've been serving and faith in the Bible church for how many years? Hey, anything great will take time. Tatiana was asking me that Jesus only spent 3 years of ministry. What about the remaining years? Because that 3 years did so much for humanity. But the remaining years, substance, roots was being built. Do you want to be a fad? A trend? That will just come and go? Because that's what our world wants. Oh, look at me now. I'm a preacher. Just because today God used you to speak in tongues, now you think that, I am Mother Teresa. You want to start your ministry. Get ready for demons and witches. If God did not call you, don't call yourself. Hey, if you want to die young, if God did not call you, don't call yourself. Because you're treading into a dangerous ground of spiritual battles. Because you need God's protection and preparation. If your child sent into the battlefield, like Pastor Adolphus will always say, when you just hear the gunshot, will you run? A true soldier will hear the gunshot and remain. I've heard this before. Because experience. Amen. God, this is God's part. Source of the vision, the vision giver. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Timing of the vision. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It doesn't matter how long you have been working on that business, that project, that ministry, that book writing, that dream, that house that you want to buy. You're asking God for a particular thing. God, I've been praying for this. That marriage, that relationship, that child. Doesn't matter how long. I know sometimes delay can be an issue. But if it's God has said it, God promised you, God has given you that vision, and you know deep down in your heart, be encouraged by this. For the vision that God has given you is yet for an appointed time. God has assigned a time for the fulfillment of that vision. God has appointed a time for the fulfillment of that vision. If you look at it, appointed time. You make appointment, right? What is an appointment? It's a time specific set for you to meet somebody, right? So God has a time specifically set for that vision to come into fruition. So he was telling his prophet, man of God, you have written down this vision. You have communicated it. So you see, sometimes when there's this gap, people laugh at you. You have been saying that faith in the Bible church will find his own place. How many years now? Oh, you have been saying this business. People mock at you. They mock at Jesus. They're mocking at us as Christians. Oh, Jesus is going to come. When is he going to come? You know, they'll mock at you. Look at when Nehemiah was trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Sambalak and Tobiah, they were mocking him. If an ox, a fox would just poke an hole, it would fall down. They were mocking what the man was doing. Expect people like that will come, they will mock your vision. Oh, you have been working on this business. You don't even have no customer. No customer. Oh, all of your customers only give you small money. I have a friend of mine who's into media business. He used to do all these small customers. He posted a video of of doing live streaming of football matches. I'm like, and that's something that he revealed to me that he was going to do. That Brian, oh boy, my goal now is I want to stop making small money. I really love media. I'm passionate about it. I'm doing it for churches. And the money that I'm making now, I want to make this full-time job and I'm trusting God. Yeah, he bought all the equipment. When I saw the video doing live streaming for a football match in Toronto, I'm like, wow, because why? He believed in his vision. Oh, lavash. All I did was, I said, it can be done. Sometimes if you have nothing to tell somebody, somebody comes and tells you about their vision. If you have nothing good to say, just shut up. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. If you're not careful, you say things to that person. Ah, la barabu sharaba. Remember the 10 spies. Hey! The only people that understood the vision of God was Joshua and Caleb. Because of 10 people with their bad reports, with their unbelief and fear, persuaded God's people not to believe in the promised land. Do you know why God wanted to destroy them and Moses intervened? Because they wanted to kill the two servants of God who believe in the vision. How dare these people trying to kill my two servants, Caleb and Joshua, different spirit in them. They believe in me. And they were doing it for the people. They were doing it for not for themselves. They were doing it for the people. But the people want to stone these two people. You see how powerful vision and faith is? That is why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. You can't just have a vision thinking it's going to happen overnight. You have to persevere. That business, you have to persevere. That land that you want to build, you have to persevere. Your health, you have to. Don't give up. I've learned in this life, as long as God is on the throne, you don't give up on yourself. You can get tired. It's okay. You can get tired. Life can knock you down. You can get tired. It's okay. Get up again and keep fighting. As long as God is on the throne, you rise up again. God's timing for the fulfillment of the vision will be perfect. It will be perfect. Just like when you're pregnant, you don't expect the child. You're an experience. Everybody's experience. I mean, I don't know. You don't expect that child just to come. You're pregnant today, and then you expect that child to come overnight. We want microwave Christianity, like my pastor will always say, microwave Christianity, microwave miracles, microwave promotion, microwave everything, microwave success in marriage, microwave ministry. You see, God focuses on who you are becoming than what you're doing. Who you are becoming is more important than what you do. When you're a child of God, there's two things: how you approach God, how you relate with God. When you're a matured Christian or immature Christian, your focus is really on the doings of God. When you're a mature Christian, your focus is on the being of God. You see the difference? Your focus is on the doings of God, the acts of God, which the children of Israel knew about God. Oh, signs and wonders. Oh, God is going to do miracles today. That's their focus. Whereas the Bible says Moses knew the ways of God. Like when we talk about the ways of somebody, you know how their mannerism, their attitude, their action, their characteristics. You can actually predict what they're going to do next, right? Because you know their ways. I know your way of life. I know how you talk. That's exactly how she talks. That's exactly who she is. God actually wants us to know his ways, his being. That is why our pastor will always say that I believe in God, not because of miracles, because I believe in God's integrity. Because a person is his integrity. I believe in God's characteristics. That's a mature Christian. You come to that level where God is not about doing. It's about being. You're focused on who God is. That is why you love people not just for what they do for you. You love them for their being. She's such a lovely person. She had values to my life. She wakes me up because of who they are. That's their nature. If you're just doing because they give you money, they give you sex, they'll get tired. They'll become broke. But if they are being, they are good nature. Amen? So, this vision will come in the right time. Don't give up. And then I also see that reassuring of the vision. Look what it says. But at the end, it will speak and will not lie. Sometimes, even God was trying to reassure the man of God. He said, sometimes people might think that, oh, that vision is fake. Oh, your vision is not working. How long? Right? God reassured of the vision. It will not lie. It's not a lie. When you share your vision with the wrong people, like, did God really speak to you? Is that what you're called to do? Just because you display a vision, they don't see profit, they don't see
physical evidence. They think that God did not call you. And they don't believe in you. Because you don't have customers. They think that your business is not real. Can you imagine? You don't have brick and mortar. Your business is on social media. How many of you started your business on social media? You started your business on God. You have a business idea. Your first action is, let me create an Instagram account. Let me create a Facebook page. Back in the day, Facebook page, I created one. No customer. Hey, Labosha, that's how vision starts. You start with small. My pastor would say that back in the day, they would go to the street, they would preach. That's the vision. But us, we want the vision to come in a very grand style. We want that, but we don't get that. But God, you're lying. I knew you're lying. But God is saying that, okay, I want you, Brother Alex, just to start a small farmland. Very basic. Hey, God, we despise small beginning. Oh, Sister Juliet, I have a big ministry for you, but I just want you to start home cell, home ministry. Visit just a few people. God, I thought you said I'm going to have something big. But we despise that small beginning. What God is trying to do to test. Look at David. For him to kill Goliath, God tested David with lions and bears. For him to become king, God tested him to take care of sheep. In the forest, we despise small beginnings. Ah, this is very hard. This is very, very hard. Though it tarries, look, you see, though it tarries, there might be delay because of circumstances in life. Wait for it. Wait. Again, repetition. Wait for it. Wait. Wait. The three P's when it comes to while you're waiting for this vision. Three P's. Patience. Productivity and perseverance. Patience, productivity, meaning that operation, things are still going. Every Sunday, people are here. Every Friday, people are here. Things are still going. Things are still in operation. Perseverance. Even though you're tired, patience is pretty much you're just waiting. But to persevere is like, you keep resting. You keep resting. People have discouraged you. Members have left. Members, I've called all sort of names. But you keep going. It takes perseverance. God, I have no customer. How long am I doing this business? Hey, God. You know, I don't have a full-time job. I put all my money into this business. It takes perseverance, child of God. Even to walk with God to fulfill your ministry. God is saying that, yes, I called you, but it's not, I want to take selfishness from you. That is why, child of God, allow God to walk in you first before God use you. Your prayer should be that, God, I know you have called me to be. Sometimes we think that we can handle greatness. It's a lie. If God did not prepare you for greatness, greatness will break you. If God does not prepare you for greatness or success, it will break you. It will not make you. You are having so much money. Money will expose you. Believe some of you think that certain sins I cannot do. Wait till you have money. Every woman that you have never tried, you want to try. Every food that you have never eaten, you want to eat. I remember when I had a good job. First time in my life, I went to the store. I treat myself $100. Fish, just for fish. Just for fish. Fish. You know, rice and sardine was my delicacy. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you true talks, you understand? When I had a good job, I'm like, God, I went to the store. I don't even know the name of the fish. I bought different types of fish. I said, today, Brian, today is your day. You have been yearning to eat fish. You know what? Because I've been yearning to eat fish. I hate fish. I got tired of it. God taught me a lesson. Yes, Brian, you can have all this money. You can have all this fish. And then you get tired of it. Sometimes I even look at it and I'm like, that is why excess in things that are temporary is not good. Excess in anything that is not God is not good. If you want excess in life, let God be excess. Let prayer be excess. Let Bible study be excess. But anything else, even sex, excess is not good. Even you loving people so much in excess that you neglect God is not good. So we should allow moderation. Amen? So patience, productivity, perseverance. That's what it's going to take for you to wait while you're working on the vision. Sometimes we wait, but we don't work. So God, we're so funny. Okay, Lord, I'm waiting for you, Lord. I'm waiting for you to get married. You're not preparing yourself to be a wife. Wait, I'm waiting for my husband, but you refuse to be a wife. I'm waiting for my wife, but you refuse to be a husband. Oh, I'm waiting to have a ministry, but you refuse to be discipled. That waiting period is a period of preparation and work. A period of what? Preparation and work. He wants to perform. You think people like Ronaldo, Messi, all these people that just perform, Mbappe, we enjoy them. Ah, Mbappe, I've scored. You know how many hours they spend in the gym? And then when we applaud them, we celebrate their lives. You know how many hours these musicians, when we hear their songs, that song is so sweet. We are moved by it. Hours. When we see men of God doing signs and wonders, hours in prayer. That waiting period is a period of just, it's not just for you just to sit down and relax. Don't do anything. Prepare your hearts. Allow God to change your character. Own your skill. Develop your skill. If you have been called to be a minister, like you don't need to go to Bible school if you don't have money, but at least get an inductive Bible study book and learn the word, how to divide the word. If you want to sing, learn about music theory. Prepare yourself so that you can be the best. Sometimes we want to give God poor results. There's a difference between Cain and Abel. Abel gave his very best. God is expecting you to preach your very best. God is expecting you to sing your very best. God is not looking for poor quality. Oh. That is why the Bible says you will stand before God, faithful servant. Faithfulness in excellence. You can't give God average. God demands the best of the best. And then, look what it says to conclude with this. Because it will surely come and will not tarry. This is what I call fulfilling of the vision. So we see on God's part, this is three parts from God. Our part is also three. Our part is capturing, planning the vision. That's our part. And the second part that we have to do, communicate the vision and then delegate the vision. Vision carries progress. That is what's killing Africa. The only time we know the vision of the president is during election. After that, the manifesto. After that, nothing else. Hey, God. But white people, they will have meetings. Hey, labasha taraba. Weekly meetings. Monthly meetings. Only black people who attend those meetings, they don't know the worth of those meetings. Those meetings will tell you about the target of the company. And those who are wise will meet the target of the company. And those who meet the target of the company, those are the people who are promoted. Because why? They attended the meeting. They understood the next target of the company. And you're able to achieve what the company demands. But some of us, we only want to go there. Clock in, clock out. Clock in, clock out. Say that with me. Clock in, clock out. That's how we live in life. We clock in, we clock out. Clock out to where? Clock in where? No, this is serious, child of God. If you guys are not going to do it, I will do it. Pastor, when it comes, plan the vision, communicate the vision, delegate the vision. Because we need to know. Vision carries progress. That is our part as a team, as individual. Now, this is the part of God. The timing of the vision, reassuring of the vision, and the fulfilling of the vision. Where vision springs from or how a vision comes about? Complaints. Because how did this Habakkuk obtain this vision? He complained. Now you wonder, okay, God, I need a vision. Look at problems. Miles Monroe said, if you want to know your purpose in life, look at problems. True leaders spring from chaos. Out of the greatest problem of humanity, which is sin, we hear people about Jesus. Problems, complaints, personal or people's problem. It's a way for us to obtain a vision. Because that's exactly what Habakkuk did. He complained to God. God, there's so much injustice. There's so much social ills. What are we going to do about it? Complain about Sierra Leone. Complain about Congo. Complain about Museveni. Complain about Trudeau. Yes, it's good to complain. We as African, we complain. But we don't do anything else. It's good to complain. But what is your next action? When you complain, what Habakkuk did he call? When you complain, do you call on God? Say, God,
I've been complaining to you. Let's brainstorm. He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, shall be white as snow. Do you reason to go with your problem? Even when you have problems at home. When you have chaos. You see, don't ever see problems as problems. See problems as opportunities for solutions. You call. Okay, God. You call through your knees. You call through prayer. And the purpose is for God to provide you solution. And then the final C is contribution. This is what God said he was going to do through Prophet Habakkuk. Write the vision. You complain. You call on God. And then you contribute. Don't just complain and don't contribute. Don't just complain. You don't call on God. When you have a complaint, don't take it to a pastor. Don't take it to your husband. Don't take it to your wife. Don't take it to your fellow members. Take it to God. Call on God first. Because that issue is even bigger than your pastor, bigger than your husband, bigger than your wife, bigger than your colleague, or bigger than your family member. Take it to God. That's, you see, Habakkuk never took this complaint to the king of Judah. He didn't. Or to other prophets. He took it to God. He called on God. Amen? And then when you complain and you call on God, don't just complain and call. Contribute. Contribute. Because that's where the solution, we're going to see the evidence of the solution. Participation, vision, and the fulfillment. Now, lastly, vision and faith. Vision and faith. It takes faith to accomplish anything in this life. People going to the moon is an act of faith. You waking up the next is an act of faith. You believing that your boss will pay you the next day is an act of faith. You open that when you go to that Chinese store, that Nigerian store, that African store, those markets that the food is good, it's an act of faith. Because you don't know. So you need faith to believe that the vision God has given you will come to pass. That business will come to pass. You will find your husband. You will get healed. Your life will not be the same. Because he said to Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Righteous shall live by faith. Faith is not just a one act. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of who you are. It's a lifestyle how you go about your life. So as we have heard this word today, child of God, I want to leave you with this. Have a vision for your personal life.